You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue White Breakdown. The premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown. Brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Hey, Penn State fans, look who I brought onto the podcast. It's David Jones. He's got his Rose Bowl hat from, looks like 1994 on it, judging by how weathered it is. So Dave, you were part of Penn State coverage is four Rose Bowls. It was 94, it was 08, 06, and then 2022 for Penn State.
08, 16,
yeah.
22, but I didn't go in 22.
Yeah, but you still covered that team. Of the Rose Bowls you went to, what was the 94 one your favorite, or did you enjoy? Because you had some weird experiences, I remember, at the 08. Didn't you go to, like, some gathering with J.J. Abrams and, like, a bunch of people that were...
Jerry Abrams, his father. Yeah. Yeah, I went to dinner at Jerry's house in... Where did O.J. Simpson live? You remember that neighborhood?
Was it Brentwood?
Yeah, Brentwood. That's right.
Yeah, where do you live? Let's probably not bring that up, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
Very good, Brentwood. Well, yeah. it's a Tony area of Los Angeles. Yes, I know who wasn't that fond of the 08 game was Joe Hermit, because he was my roommate and he was retching. I've never heard a guy that sick.
I actually saw some people sicker. He was in the top three. Frank Badani, I didn't know. I didn't think he was going to make it. Because he actually went to the Rose Bowl. I didn't think he was going to survive the Rose Bowl.
It was food poisoning for those who were
the
not.
Ice in the media hotel was tainted with salmonella, and at the luncheon, everyone who had ice cubes in their drinks basically
including the media relations director, and she was a trooper.
Yeah.
She looked ashen the entire game. Yeah. So
Glenn Mason did not look good. I remember that.
Glenn Mason, that's right. That's right. And I'd been in there talking to him. I probably served him up his ice. But I didn't. I had a Jack with him or three.
It's a good thing you just didn't have any ice in there.
Just the two of us. But I know I served up one to him. I might have served up his salmonella.
Joe had it bad. Joe is now out of action, Penn State fans. He's recouping. From
that collision.
I think right ankle surgery from the Dante Cephas collision in the end zone at Northwestern.
It's not funny, but I mean, it looked bad on TV, man. It looked awful.
Well, the funny thing is, Dave, you should have seen Joe, stubborn Joe Hermit, after the collision. It was like pulling teeth to try and get him to go to the hospital and to try and give up the rental car keys. So we could go pick him up at the hospital. He's like, no, I'm good. We're like 35 minutes away from where we're staying. And he would not give up the car keys. He's like, no, it's pretty good. Yeah, so he tore a tendon in his ankle.
Monty Python, the knight that has nothing left.
Yeah, that's what it was like. So now, yeah, he's on the shelf till about, I think, April.
'Tis nothing but a flesh wound.
Hey, Dave, about that 08 Rose Bowl, how surreal was it? Because I know you were there. How surreal was Joe Paterno's day after press conference when Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer walked into the room? Like, how surreal was that moment?
He wasn't very happy. I remember that, and that kind of brightened him up. He didn't have any choice. Yeah. Well, he'd gotten axe murdered by the USC team. And
strolled into the press conference. he eventually started to smile, but those guys were a piece of work.
They were not going to be denied. The funny part is Those are two of the happiest guys in general I've ever been around, especially Barry Switzer, because we remember we had to do all those special stories for the 300th win, and then the 328th win that beat Bear Bryant. Is that what it was? I can't remember.
Yeah, then 400, but yeah.
But it was right in there that I called Barry Switzer, and to because he had been the genesis of the quote that Joe was asked if he was going to go into politics and quit football, and it was supposed to be off the record. And he said, "What am I going to do? Leave college football to the Switzes and Cheryls of the world?" And it was supposed to be off the record, one of those Friday night things.
John Clayton quoted.
Yeah. So he had to apologize to Barry, and Barry told me the whole story, and he said, I shouldn't have said it. And he goes, "No, you shouldn't have." So he made him write the foreword to his book, Bootlegger's Boy.
That's a great book, by the way, Bootlegger's Boy.
And he called me up at like 8 in the morning, and Dave, Barry Switzer, what do you need? And Jimmy Johnson, I can only imagine. I mean, there's a guy who is at once a taskmaster. You know, what did Chuck Knoll say to the Steelers? Most of you aren't going to be around next year. I'm sure Jimmy was turning over the roster. I'm sure he was the same thing. Well, 08 was kind of a wash because you know Mark Sanchez just chopped up that Penn State secondary. Who was it? Anthony Scarrato and Mark Rubin were the safeties, I believe.
Yeah, they were playing 29 yards deep on the hash. And the corners were playing off, too.
Well, they played cover three. I remember talking to the USC wide receivers.
The receivers weren't even that good. They were not NFL receivers. They might have got drafted, but they were no superstars.
They just started throwing underneath that, and it was one slant after another.
Game. Well, I think it was 404 yards by Mark Sanchez. 7
yards per reception, so that wasn't much. It's got to be – in 94 – there was no suspense because everyone knew that everything had happened the night before when Nebraska came back to beat Miami and that Osborne was going to get his national
title.
Very
deserving national champions that year. Yeah, keep going.
I didn't say that. Yeah.
Penn State fans know that I'm kidding.
They don't know that you're actually a closet Nebraska.
They do know that by now. You've told them.
I hope.
It's the 16 game, the game that had 101 points.
The 16 game was just amazing. And this brings us into one of our other points for this podcast is I was talking to Steve Politi from NJ.com yesterday, our sister paper, about Saquon Barkley's career with the Giants. And I don't cover the NFL. I mean, I don't watch the NFL nearly as much as you do. So I'm always uncertain about certain aspects of what I think I know. I have to check it out with people. And Steve has covered the Giants for NJ.com, among other things. He's my opposite number for them. He's their columnist, so he covers everything. And I said, did they ever have a decent offensive line in front of Barkley? He goes, no. It was like right away, no. I said, didn't Dave – it was Dave Gettleman. Was that the GM at first?
Dave Gettleman. Yeah, I think Barkley went – he was the number two overall pick, I think. And then, yeah, they didn't have enough around him.
I'm getting off the – I'm getting off your Rose Bowl point.
It's okay.
But that one run that Barkley had, we just looked at each other, even live. When you don't have the replay, you're going
– That was not a well-blocked play either.
How did he do that? And it was supposed to be – this is something that Saquon Barkley did his whole damn career and has had to do his entire college and pro career. What are you talking about? 9 years, 9 seasons of his prime.
Bouncing the play outside.
He has always had to bounce the play outside. I actually saw somebody – on a chat board a couple days ago says he dances too much. I like jumped all on the guy's shit. I had to. I said the guys had to dance. I mean, if you had free rushers coming in on you every single play you've ever run in your life, you would dance too. And am I wrong?
You're not.
I mean, three years at Penn State, 6 years with the Giants, he has never had even a mediocre offensive line. I don't think. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, Penn State got a little bit better, but the offensive line, it always kind of showed up against better teams. Whether it was the Ohio State late in the 2017 game or whenever they went out to Michigan, whenever Penn State, around that time, Barkley was on the 16 team that went out to Michigan, and it was 49-10, I think, and it wasn't even that close. I mean, it always did show up against the better defensive talent in the Big Ten. Absolutely.
And they got better that year. That offensive line did. But it still came down to Trace McSorley like knifing through two guys careening up and jumping up in the pocket and throwing downfield because they had great wide receivers then. And Barkley would juke somebody and dart through a hole like that run in the Rose Bowl. I mean, that play was designed to go inside. It was an inside zone run. He bounced it way out on the perimeter right. And then at one point when he finally turned up field, you pause it on your TV and he's got four guys all around him. And I don't know how he did what he did. And then his acceleration, it was like a race car, just boom. And then they've got the picture of the two USC fans going like this. It was perfect direction. They're going. that was a fun game in so many ways, except Penn State didn't win at the end. And I thought they deserved to win, but their defense after, who was it? Bell went out.
Yeah, they had Brandon Bell. They were not known for defense in 2016. You know, that they just weren't. And
Sam Darnold basically did whatever he wanted.
Yeah, I think that, that USC team, they had Juju on the outsides. He was a very, very good, even in the pros early on, a very, very good player. They just couldn't really guard him, and it was only, Penn State was up 14, and they needed to make like one more scoring drive. They couldn't do it, and you knew USC was just gonna. They were just going to pee in their oatmeal at the end of the game.
About it, they had 49, but they needed one more score.
We could have got to the mid-50s. I think we would have won the game.
Maybe if they get there was a throw before the McSorley interception where he just missed it. There was a throw before that that Godwin would have scored another touchdown.
I think Joe Moore had still laments that throw, by the way.
They would have had 56, and they probably would have won, but that's what they needed. They needed 56.
All we needed, Dave, was we needed 52 all going into overtime just to see if they could have got to the 70s in the Rose Bowl and just made a mockery of it.
Well, it's a mockery now. Anyway, Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. I have half-assed opinions because I'm not really an NFL expert. I'm curious. Are you curious?
I'm a little curious.
What movie is this? Are you curious? I'm curious.
Have it for you. I don't have that one.
It's oh man, it's Apocalypse Now.
Huh. All right. You think that's the greatest movie of all time, don't you?
No, not at all.
I thought you said you did.
No, I think The Deer Hunter.
That is a good. They're both good.
But he's giving him a drag off his cigarette, and he's going, "Are you curious? I'm curious." And he's sticking it between the bamboo of his little prison there. I'm curious what you think about this, especially the money. I mean, Nick, my son, told me about it, and then I tried to guess the contract, and I was way, way low. Were you surprised what the Eagles paid for this, for a depreciating asset also?
A little surprised. There's a lot of – what I would say is I think they feel like
– I know they got a lot of cap room.
For some reason, I think they felt like the running backs that they had prior to him, whether it was Miles Sanders or Swift, they were good at one particular thing, and they feel like Barkley is more two-dimensional threat. I don't know about Barkley as a blocker, but as a receiver and as a running back, I don't know about that, Dave. My thing about the Eagles was they were at the end of last year. It was clear. Two things were clear to me. Jalen Hurts was not healthy at the end. The other thing that was clear to me was they got old and bad on defense. And I don't know that I would. I don't know how much I would have prioritized him over maybe fixing the defense. you know, especially
throw every penny of that cap space, which is huge, admittedly, into the defense. They need it, man. A running back these days in the NFL, is that going to – I know DeAndre Swift is little and didn't – not a three-down back, but still, I don't know how much Saquon Barkley is going to help you in his seventh season with some serious wear on his tires behind an offensive line that is not what it used to be with Jason Kelce retiring. Lane Johnson looked a little like he's getting a little bit older last year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this will be his 13th or 14th season. I think he was in the 2010 draft, 2011 draft. So, yeah.
I don't think you can count on this offensive line being up to the caliber of, and I believe they're replacing center with a draft pick.
Yeah, they have a guy that could play center on the roster in Cam Jurgens, but I think they like him better at it. And this is believe it or not, this is considered a really, really good center draft. Like three or four of them that could go in the top two, three rounds, and that's very rare for that position. They're going to get one of them.
All right, well, still, you're playing a rookie in place of Jason Kelce, one of the most accomplished, a Hall of Fame center. One of the most accomplished centers in the recent history of pro football. That's got to count for something. People underestimate the center position consistently, unless people who've played know how important a position it is. And you're not just going to replace Jason Kelce. I don't care who you put in there, unless you traded for somebody of his value, and I don't think they're going to do that. So you're assuming that this offensive line is not going to be the problem either with a depreciating Saquon Barkley. I just think it's insanity, especially, what was it, like $26 million guaranteed they're paying him?
Yeah, I think with the signing bonus, the first 2 years, it's in the 14. Is it 14 million a year or something like that? I just glanced at the numbers. Yeah, I'm sure.
The 30s overall. Yeah. 40.
Johnny McGonigal will know. Johnny is happy. Johnny is a Penn State grad, covers Penn State, loves the Birds. He was very happy at James Franklin's Tuesday news conference. He actually asked him. He's the one that asked James the question about Saquon Barkley. And Franklin made it sound like Howie Roseman called Barkley on the phone and had a chat with him before, you know, this was before the leagues. It's tampering because you weren't really allowed to announce the moves until Wednesday. So technically, if that's true, the Eagles are guilty of tampering and they have some explaining to do or they're going to get penalized.
That's great. Awesome. And Johnny had something to do with it. That's awesome.
Johnny's question. So I think that I don't know if the Penn State fan base is more Eagle fans. No, Eagle fans are more mad at they got to be more mad at James because it was an innocent question. It had nothing to do. It just was a very big picture question on Saquon. And James took it, filibustered, ran with it, and talked himself right into trouble.
I don't understand any of that stuff. I do understand tampering, but I don't understand what.
Yeah, you can't. I guess Wednesday was the day you can officially announce deals and anything before that. And the league's not actually, I don't think the league was actually allowed to contact players until Wednesday. You could talk to their agents. You can't talk to the players. So I think the Eagles side was we just talked to the agent and James is like, no, yeah, Howie Roseman told Saquon Barkley. So there's a little bit of drama going on Twitter right now about a Johnny McGonigal question.
To me, the lines are so blurry and ridiculous. It's almost like people getting upset now that players are being paid. Did you think players weren't being paid, you know, 10, 20, 40 years ago? It's ridiculous.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dave, you talked about centers real quick. Your favorite Penn State centers. I know you're going to say 94. Is it Bucky Greeley?
A.Q. Shipley has...
That was going to be... I didn't know if you were going to go there.
He's really validated himself in the NFL. I mean, you can't deny that. I mean, I don't think any of us thought he was going to be the NFL player that he became. When was he drafted? You remember all this stuff.
Well, I think his last year at Penn State, I'm almost positive, was that 08 team that lost in the Rose Bowl. I think he was a senior on that team. So he would have, I think, went in the 09 draft, I believe.
I mean, what round? Do you remember?
He either went late or might have been a free agent, but he worked at it. He played a lot of football.
Did you see this coming? No one saw this coming.
No. He's a Western PA guy. You can never count out Western PA guys, though, Dave.
Yeah, and they take a lot of abuse, a lot of pounding. You got to respect that. So that would be my choice, yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, it was Bucky Greeley on the 94 team?
Yeah, he was the center then.
The other guy, Juice Scruggs had a nice year as a rookie. He only played 1 year at center for Penn State, but he's a more contemporary center that I think could have a long NFL career. But we're going to see, Dave. We're going to see. So we're about 21 minutes in. Let me just, Dave, so the last 2 years on the Penn State beat, all we heard about was Penn State's defense, right? Defense, 2022, defense, 2023. Well, their offense wasn't good. The edge rushers, you know, the linebackers, the corners. And I think, so this is the 25-year anniversary of the 99 team that had a pretty good defense. And I think there are a couple defenders on that team that would say, hold my beer to some of the people that are talking about some of these Penn State players the last 2 years, because they were elite at Penn State. And they, a couple of them had pretty good NFL careers. Courtney Brown, I think, who knows what he would have done if he didn't wreck his knee, because he was unstoppable on that Penn State defense with LeVar. But, they, you know, Brandon Short, you know, Mac Morrison, there were some, that was a really, really, really good defense.
They only got drafted 1 and 2 in the entire draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that's ever, is that ever going to happen again? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, two defensive players from the same program.
Yeah.
I remember actually more than 99, which was their last game was the Alamo Bowl against Texas A&M, where they shut out that awful Texas.
You're going to say Tim Couch in the beatdown.
That's right. And I you remember Hal Mumme was the coach at Kentucky, and he came from that entire tree from Texas Tech. I believe he was an assistant under Leach at Texas Tech, right? Or was it the other way around? I think Mumme is actually the father of the tree, I'm pretty sure, and Leach came from under.
Mumme was the daddy. Yeah. Yep, got it.
And it was a kind of offense you didn't really see much in the Big Ten. I mean, Purdue was starting to do some of that, but you didn't see them. And Purdue had given Penn State some trouble with Drew Brees. They never beat him, but they gave him trouble, and it was always a crazy game. I remember saying, I'm going to have to give a shout out to my buddy Dick Girardi, because
I know the story.
I remember
Kentucky got up early in the bowl game against Penn State.
I remember thinking, before the game, I think Kentucky's got a real shot here. And I don't remember if Girardi was next to me or two seats down. He goes, no shot. Because Couch.
How many times has he said that to you in your journalistic career? Just shot you down.
Couch had thrown for a touchdown. I believe they had an early lead, right?
They did have an early lead. It might have been like 14-3 or 10-3, something like that. And then the game just flipped.
Ended up 26-14. But he could see the wreckage going on with both Brown and Arrington and thinking, He says, they're not going to score another point. And sure enough, they didn't. And that was, it was wreckage. It was like, it was like a storm that Kentucky had no warning, and Couch couldn't do anything. He was an old style pocket quarterback. He couldn't get away from that. And he never did a thing the rest of the game. That was a lot more impressive to me, because that A&M team, and very frankly, they had not played, that defense had not played well at the end of the 99 season.
They got Tom Brady.
They got Michigan State'd, man, and I believe it was Saban.
Yeah, Glenn Mason too.
Yeah, Saban's. Well, yeah, but Michigan State ran up some points on them in Saban's last game, and they had not played very well. So, is A&M really a test? No, that was an awful offense. Remember that, like 290-pound running back A&M had. Remember that guy? I can't remember his. It was just easy pickings. It was like raw meat for those guys. They were just, this was going to be the last game, and they just destroyed them. The 98 game and the Tampa Bowl was the Tampa Bowl that year against Kentucky. That was the true test of that defense, I think.
Yeah, they were just watching that team play. Courtney and LeVar looked like physically. They were players that should have been playing like in today's game. They were already ahead of the curve in terms of size and speed in the late 90s, when that was not necessarily a guarantee. And to see those guys move that fast at that size and do those things, whether it was LeVar jumping over people or Courtney Brown, I think in that one of those Purdue games, didn't he tip a pass to himself and return it for a touchdown in West Lafayette to like break that game open? But they were just doing things that no one else did really at Penn State on defense.
Plus, these guys moved like that with what else? What else was true about the late 90s?
Probably the equipment was not that comfortable.
Yeah, the giant shoulder pads like out to here.
And those rolls.
But the pads were out to like way past the ends of the one.
Yeah, Courtney Brown looks like he weighed 390 pounds.
Why did that stop? Do you know the answer to that question?
Probably because of drag. I don't know. Probably wasn't. Slowed them down.
We need Tommy Venturino on here. one of those.
He looked like Transformers, man, out there.
Spider Caldwell on the show to give us the answer for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I just wanted to ask you about that because I just feel like the younger Penn State fan base. Is you know, these athletes that they have on defense, it's impressive, but there have been some pretty good Penn State defenses. We didn't even get to 05. Even in 08 and 09, the defense, other than the safeties, was pretty good. So
you know what we're sounding like here is yes. We're going.
Well, it's true though, Dave. It's true. You saw what happened in the bowl game, the Peach Bowl, you know, against Ohio State. Yeah, you know, they are good defenses, but they're not athletically. There's a lot of good defenses out there.
Well, so. The difference is what those defenses were allowed to do by the rules. I mean, those, if you watch those games 20, 25 years ago, the hits that people are taking, especially quarterbacks, are completely different from them. And I think it's not necessarily a reflection of the players these days, but what they've been taught they can't do, and it makes them less abandon. And you watch defenses like that, especially the secondaries, they would just haul off and destroy people. I mean, I remember showing my nephew Jeremy, Fred's older son, who was the safety from USC?
Taylor, is it Taylor, the guy that almost killed Jordan Norwood? It was a Taylor Rapp? No,
yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah. I showed him that hit on Jordan Norwood.
USC safety, yeah.
Yes, from that 08 Rose Bowl that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Taylor Mays.
Good call.
And I mean, that you could never get away with a hit like that. I mean, because Jeremy was about to play college football. And he was built kind of like Jordan Norwood. He was like 6'5" and skinny. And I'm doing the old man thing. It's like, you know what you're getting into now? Is that what you think? And the streaming is brand new, so I popped it up on a replay and showed him that hit. And he was like, oh, because that was nasty, man.
Well, dude, how about the 86 Fiesta Bowl when Penn State's undersized D-backs just brutalized Miami's passing game, like Michael Irvin, all those receivers just got mugged. And you couldn't, if they played that game with those guys in their prime today, Penn State would get trucked because you couldn't touch those guys. You couldn't hit them.
Yeah, either that or they get 150 yards in penalties. Before we leave, I need to explain that we're not talking about basketball because the situation is so fluid. Penn State has just beaten Michigan in an awful game last night and are about to play Indiana tonight. But by the time you see that, it'll probably be over with. So we're not talking about that. But in that vein, I just happened to go back because I wrote this story on Jahzy Klein-Hurd on Sunday. I went back and watched the 2001 Michigan State Penn State Big Ten tournament quarterfinal. And I am telling you,
what is wrong with you?
Well, you go back and watch like the Cowboys against the 49ers in the 70 NFC title.
That's right. So what? What are you going to do about it?
But I am telling you, it shocked me because I hadn't really watched that in many, many years. How good you're talking about Jason Richardson and Zach Randolph and Alagonwe. I mean these beasts for Michigan State, and it was in the Crispin brothers and Titus Ivory and Jahzy Klein-Hurd going up against these guys, and I don't know how they won the game, but the quality of Big Ten basketball back then, it's the same thing because the players don't hang around as long and they play together longer back then. And we may sound like old men, but that part of it is true. It's true. I mean, these games were a little bit better 20 and 25 years ago.
All right, Jen. So maybe we'll talk a little basketball once the dust is settled on Mike Rose's bunch, probably next week. I mean, who knows? Who knows? They could win the tournament and they could be in the tournament.
What are you, Mike Kern? You tell me. Who knows?
At some point, we'll talk about men's basketball at Penn State. It's not right now. I don't know when we will, Dave.
Temple is temple, Bob. What do you want me to tell you?
All right. Listen, enjoy your St. Patrick's Day weekend with Kaiser. And we'll talk next week, hopefully, about some basketball.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.